Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit.
Bandwidth for i5 for the iPhone is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com.
Hey, everybody, welcome to i5 for the iPhone episode 55. Sort of has to be some sort of a good luck charm. I hope so. I could use some good luck. This is the show where we pick the 5 best iPhone apps, news, tips, and tricks, and share them with you. I'm Sarah Lane, and I'm ready to twerk. No, I'm not. Number one. Hey you. Did you know that as of August 30th, Apple has a new reuse and recycle program for iPhones? Well, it does. And I'm going to tell you exactly how it works, courtesy of 9to5Mac, who told me exactly how it worked. So let's say you have an iPhone already, but you want a new one. That applies to many of us, if not all. You can trade it in now and get your new iPhone at a discounted price. Love that. Now, this is only at select Apple stores in the U.S., at least at first. A larger rollout is expected to happen in September. But let's say your local store is already participating. Okay, so you bring in your old iPhone, and an Apple employee will say, "Hi, you," and will calculate its worth using one of their little easy-pay devices that they carry around with them. Display quality, button quality, engraving, does it have liquid damage, all of that stuff factors into the price. Now, if you agree to move forward, if they say your phone is worth $165, you say okay, then you can apply that dollar amount in the form of a gift card to your new phone. It has to be on contract, and it has to be activated then and there. So this is an in-store thing. Your old SIM will move over to your new phone, so your data will move over, and you can have all your data backed up right then and there. Now, the iPhone 3G, 3GS, 4, 4S, and 5 are all eligible for both trade-in or even just recycling if you want to be responsible. Now, as you might imagine, you pay a little for convenience. For example, Gazelle, a frequent sponsor of this proud little show, is another company that will also give you money for your used iPhone and actually a lot of other gadgets. But Apple's betting most people who want a new iPhone or are going to be there anyway would rather just bring in their old device and get the whole thing done in one fell swoop. And I think Apple's probably right in many cases. People are lazy. People like things to be easy, and I bet Apple will see a lot more merchandise moving out of its retail stores because of this very reuse and recycle program. Number two, if you use the official Twitter iPhone app and you've updated it since Wednesday, you've probably noticed some strange vertical lines connecting tweets together. They're blue. And if you have friends like mine, they've basically been bitching about nothing else. Why has Twitter ruined our lives? I'm paraphrasing, but that's basically what they're saying. This is Twitter's new Conversations feature, which is now live on the iOS app, the Android app, and the web version of Twitter. The idea is this. A new person who lives in the world signs up for Twitter. That happens a lot. Chances are they're not a huge technophile, or they would have been on Twitter a long time ago. The company really, really badly wants this new person to understand what we're all doing on Twitter and how threads come together and how conversations start. I tweet something, you reply to me, person C can follow along if they're following both of us. Otherwise, they only see that original tweet from me. I know how Twitter works. I don't need to tell you how Twitter works. But let's be honest, the syntax and the flow of Twitter is still a big mystery to a lot of people. Going forward, though, tweets that are part of a conversation are shown in chronological order and connected by that vertical blue line, making it easier for that new person on Twitter to follow along. You'll see up to 3 tweets in a sequence, but if there are more and you want to expand the conversation, you just tap a tweet to see all the replies, even from people that you don't follow. So it is easier to jump in on what people have been talking about amongst themselves. If you don't want to expand the conversation, you don't have to do that. However, as I mentioned, a lot of my friends absolutely hate this new conversations design. I mean, they really hate it. I think, I'm going out on a limb here, but I think that's more about them hanging out on Twitter a lot and hating change to something that they're really used to than this actually being a bad user interface and design call on Twitter's part. Twitter's gearing up for an IPO, remember. And when a company decides to go public, making sure user numbers are on the rise is priority number one. Conversations are designed to keep the normals, those are, you know, normal people in the world that aren't maybe as technological as the rest of us, the normals, they want them to be able to keep up on Twitter. And I think that we all better just get used to it. Or you could stick with Tweetbot like I do and just not care about any of this. Number three, I have a problem. Yes, I have lots of problems actually, but I have a specific problem with music on my iPhone. I love music. I listen to Pandora for a music radio a fair amount, but most of the time I use RDO as my music collection in the cloud. But you know what I don't really use is Spotify. That's pretty much because RDO and Spotify are competitors, and I just decided to go with RDO a while ago. The problem is so many of my friends love Spotify, and I feel like I'm missing out on all their listening history and music recommendations and the social part of it because we're tied to different music services. But with a new app called Soundwave, we can share what we're listening to, whether we play music via RDO or Spotify or 8-Tracks or Deezer or just via our music libraries, and we don't even have to try. So Soundwave has some cool features. For example, you can draw a circle over a music map and see what's hot in any given neighborhood. I kind of like that. You know, it's like, what are they listening to in Brooklyn today? Or follow your friends, actual people that you know, or people that you just think are interesting, and see what they're listening to, plus a history of who rated or liked or disliked a song. If you end up discovering a song and you want to fully immerse yourself, you can do cool stuff like view YouTube videos related to it, listen to that song on SoundCloud, or buy it on iTunes. I think Soundwave really has its work cut out for it, just getting people to know that the app exists. I mean, isn't that sort of the swan song of all apps? But it does solve a specific problem for me, and that's that I miss out on friends' music activity because we're not all on the same streaming network. Soundwave is our missing link. Numero four. Hey, so who out there loves Flickr? You know, Flickr. Flickr, the photo social network storage service thingy owned by Yahoo. I'm sort of kidding. You probably know exactly what Flickr is. But do you use Flickr, even if you ever did? I don't really blame you if you don't. Flickr has so much competition in the photo space these days, especially with iPhone apps. But Marissa Meyer and company are on a serious roll with Flickr right now, and the company's latest app update is easily their best version yet. Let's talk about it. First, new filters with cool names. And they're live, meaning that you see what your photo will look like before you take it. You've got like filter preview action. Okay, but what if you hate all of those filters that Flickr is offering you? You say, those are the stupidest filters I ever saw. Not to worry, just customize those filters and make something you like better. Beyond filters, the Flickr app has improved its camera tools, has different kinds of grids to help you compose your next shot. You can pinch to zoom. You can focus and exposure lock. That's possible in the native camera app on the iPhone too, but it's designed to look native in the Flickr app. It's an all-in-one solution. So if you want to do everything manually, you can enhance your photo, crop, sharpen, adjust color, levels, add vignetting, all of the good stuff, and really the kind of good stuff that other photo apps often make you pay for. Flickr is free. I think what keeps people from using Flickr more often, I've tried to find out why I even have a problem using it more often, is sort of this expectation that we should all be in the community and there all the time and liking each other's photos and commenting and all that good stuff. And yeah, I mean, that's how it should be. Flickr's big problem is getting all of us formerly loyal users to love Flickr again and to hang out there all the time. But just forget all of that for a second. This Flickr iPhone app is a great photography and photo editing app, even if that's as much Flickering as you ever do. Finally, number five. Every so often, we decide to highlight an app that you, the iPhone developer extraordinaire, have made and sent to us for review. We can't always do this, but we like to do it from time to time. And today, it's Matt Day. Happy Matt Day, everybody, because Matt and I share a deep, bottomless hatred for bumper-to-bumper traffic and for people who don't know how to drive. The difference is that while I sit in my car yelling at the sky, Matt channels his anger into an app called Blow Up Traffic. The idea, you mount your phone to your windshield, you know, it's any iPhone mount will do. You open up the app, you yell, fire! And then you relieve tension by virtually blowing up the cars in front of you. Die, chicken!
Affirmative.
Yes, that's what it does. That's all it does. Now, obviously, you don't have to be in traffic because it's just using the camera. I could just blow up the teleprompter in front of me or that dumb lamp over there because I hate that guy. I also don't have to yell fire. I could yell, screw you, Burke!
Engaging.
And I could get the same effect or, I hate lamp! You get the idea. Ah, man attack!
Engaging.
The app is just looking for a general voice trigger. You kind of have to be loud about it, though. All right, Matt. I like your app. I think it's fun. It's silly. But if it actually cuts down on physical road rage, who am I to say it's not a good app? Make sure you're really going to use it, though, because it is $1.99. That is about it for this episode of i5. Oh, nope, not done yet. One more thing before we wrap up. A couple episodes ago, we talked about Chrome browser and our little Chrome browser experiment. I was deciding to use it exclusively instead of Safari on my iPhone. I'm still using it. I'm still loving it. But it is still annoying that links don't open natively. Except when they do. My favorite email app, Mailbox, might be yours too, just updated its iPhone app to allow us to choose to open links in Chrome rather than Safari. I don't know why I'm doing a crazy eight, but I'm excited. It's nice. Chrome's looking better all the time. Mailbox also added something cool, cloud search, so that you can search all messages in your Gmail account, not just the most recent 1,000 or so. All right, now we're really done. You can go to twit.tv/i5 to get all of our show notes. That's where you can find links to apps and subscribe to the show as well. Or just add our show to your favorite podcast app. Email us at i5@twit.tv. Leave us a voicemail at 614-ON-i5. Or send us a video with an app review of your own. I'm Sarah Land, and I'll see you right here next week on i5 for the iPhone. Happy Labor Day! Woo!